is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa, our other two fabulous guests, Sean Johnson and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs, are unfortunately not with us this episode, but that's okay. I feel like, Dom, this is the first time I think we're doing an episode like one-on-one.
I think it is. We were on the verge of doing one-on-one one time, but Brandon came in as our guest, which was great. Excellent to have him. But this is, I think, our first one-on-one.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. So it's going to, yeah, and it's going to be a good one. I mean, because we got a lot of stuff to talk about. I know a lot of stuff's happening in sports, but I know last episode we talked about MLB free agency and NFL free agency, and I didn't think we'd have to talk about that again, but it's still crazy hot right now in those kind of, I would say, markets and sports. They're kind of dominating the news headlines, I would say, at least for the time being. So I feel like it's the only thing that we continue to talk about it as kind of big names were dealt this past week. So I guess we'll start with baseball first. You know, Dom, three of the biggest names in free agency were signed all this past week: Freddie Freeman, Carlos Correa, and Trevor Story. You know, I know we've talked about this on our other podcast, Freddie Freeman. I know you're not happy about it. You pray he go anywhere else but the Dodgers. And where does he go? The Dodgers.
The Dodgers.
So, you know, kind of, you know, obviously give your initial take and kind of, you know, what does this mean kind of for your Padres going forward? You know, obviously you have Luke Voit now, and we know Tatis is going to be out for a little bit, but, you know, this is kind of going to be kind of marked on your calendar kind of every time you guys have a series as Dodgers Padres.
Yeah, Anthony, it sucks. Some of the players said it, you know, it really does suck, but this is what happens when the big market teams go out and just spend money like gavoons. So, yeah, I'm not really that surprised, especially when the A's moved on, got Matt Olson. I did not expect Freeman to go to the Yankees or Red Sox, despite the rumors. So, yeah, and for 6 years, 162, a little bit dangerous because if he's not 33, he's on the verge of it, Freeman.
Uh-huh,
and
yes.
He won't live up to that full contract. He'll live up to, if he's lucky, I personally think, 3 years. I'm not saying anything bad about it, but he is getting older. He's played a while in the league. But, yeah, we'll see how it happens. It just sucks. I mean, the Padres, no matter what, still have work to do in that outfield. Really does suck. We missed our chances on Soler, Castellanos. There's talks that they want to move Jorge Alfaro to left field, which he has experience. But I don't know, man. Either way, it still sucks. Freddie Freeman is a Dodger. The NL West has been making noise basically this whole offseason, and that was the cherry on top for LA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and kind of, you know, it's interesting with LA because, you know, I know we talked about it on our podcast in terms of, like, for us Yankee fans, it's like we don't really have to worry about that signing because it's like they're in the National League. I mean, if we play them in an interleague series, great, but like we don't have to worry about them until if and when we make the World Series and if it's against them. That's the only time we got to worry about it. But other than that, like, it's kind of like, okay, good for them. But the other thing that kind of intrigued me was how, you know, the Dodgers have always been like, oh, well, we develop players and we're so good at that. And I remember Trevor Plouffe said this and how, like, if you really think about it, how they really develop players, not really, or maybe they have, but they trade them.
Right.
Right.
Bellinger, who knows if he's going to still be with the team. I guess you could say they developed Chris Taylor because he was young as a Mariner.
And they developed Justin Turner because he was not this when he was with the Mets. He was a straight dud with that team.
Right.
You know, they don't, you know, obviously Walker Buehler came up in their organization, Julio Herrera's. came up in their organization, Gavin Lux. So they got a couple guys, but like the big, big guys, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, AJ Pollock, Trey Turner, you know, those guys, you know,
yeah,
were they bought them. Clayton Kershaw, homegrown guy, but I would say, now thinking about it and naming those, I feel like it's a mix. It's a mix of both. They have homegrown guys who are good, you know, no knock to them, but you also have the big boys who they kind of just shell out. But in their defense, they traded their developed prospects for them. So in a way, it's kind of like they developed to get those players, if that makes right. sense.
Right. And I shouldn't be talking as a Padre fan because look, you know, look what we are doing with the money that we got. So
yeah.
That's what teams are going to do, man. They're going to buy a lot of players. And I'm not surprised, you know, 6 years, 162 is not a bad contract at all, but yeah, that infield is stacked. that infield is loaded as it already was. And the Dodgers re-signing Chris Taylor too, I think was key. Bringing him back. That was actually pretty clutch.
Yeah, it was big. And I think it is big for this reason is that, you know, we always have to look at the future. You know, you're always looking ahead, even obviously when you're in the present and things are looking good. For example, the Dodgers, you know, Trey Turner, he's going to be a free agent. And if he has another great season again, he's going to be in that Corey Seager, Fernando Tatis market. He's young. He's fast. Plays shortstop. He can hit. Provides him a little bit of pop, you know, 15 home runs. You know, if he has another great season, we're looking at a guy who can make some serious money. And at that case, the Dodgers can't sign him. They wouldn't be able to. You know, they had too much money on the books.
Yeah, they're going to be like the Chiefs of baseball, in which we'll get into the crazy trade that happened. I predicted this a couple of years back. I think it's going to bite the Dodgers in the butt too, where they're spending so much money on guys, then they're going to have to sacrifice who to keep, who not to keep. Look what happened with Seager. Right, I understand they have Trey Turner, but he's going to want big bucks if he has a big year, like you just stated. Great point. What if Cody Bellinger comes back and actually bats a good 300, 290 and pops off for 40 homers? He's going to want big bucks. Everything like that is going to be in play where the Dodgers are going to start losing players like that because they can't afford them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and unless that ownership wants to go over the luxury tax, it's like, all right, well, at what point do you stop? I mean, right. We've seen Steve Cohen go absolutely crazy with his luxury tax, you know, but, you know, it's New York and he kind of has the money to spend. And also he kind of has to, based on kind of the organization and kind of the reputation that he put kind of on himself as an owner due to him yapping on Twitter. So look, I mean, we'll see what they do, but at least for now, you know, they're one of the favorites coming out of baseball to win it all. So we'll see. And then obviously the other big signing right after Freeman would be Carlos Correa at 3 years, 100+ million to the Minnesota Twins. That's not a name that we thought would happen or we would say that he would be signed to, but lo and behold, here we are. And the only reason why we think he did sign with them is because of the fact that he has two opt-out clauses at the end of the first and second year of the contract. And, you know, I said this before, I feel like it wasn't, you know, the lockout kind of played him dirty. He didn't get a full offseason to kind of test the waters and kind of negotiate kind of the money that he wanted. And I think at the end of the day, him and Scott Boras came to a realization, he's like, all right, we're not going to get the $300 million that we were hoping for. So you kind of have to bet on yourself. I have a, hopefully for himself, has a great year. And, you know, he can opt out and test the water again and have a full offseason to potentially get the money that he deserves. That's my view on the whole take, and that's why I went to the Twins. But, you know, good for the Twins to get a shortstop, a premier shortstop to pair with Byron Buxton, Miguel Sano, Gary Sanchez, Gio Urshela, Max Kepler. So what are your thoughts on the whole on that deal? You know, because obviously it kind of took everyone like, huh, that's an interesting move.
Yeah, I find it funny that him, Gio Urshela, and Gary Sanchez are on the same team and not on the Yankees. So that's going to be interesting. Look, Correa made it cute to be the highest AAV player, right, per year. He went up like 0.1. I don't know. Like, solid move, I guess, by the Twins, but wholly overpay. I wouldn't be shocked if he popped off this year, if he opted out, tested the waters again. He wants that $300+ million. he can live a year in Minnesota if he knows how to play in Target Field. I think his first 2 years are opt-outs too. So I wonder. I was shocked by this. I thought he was going to go a one-year deal with the Astros to kind of show off again and then test the market. But he'll go to a different team to opt-outs the first 2 seasons, see what he does. I'm not expecting much out of this. Correa is good, but he's not a great player that deserves that kind of money. And the Twins are just a little confusing. I think they look decent on paper, but it's the Twins. Like, you know, what are they going to really do? So I don't know how much Correa really helps them out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I always think their pitching is kind of lacking. I mean, the offense is kind of there, but there are some inconsistencies, you know, with obviously Gary Sanchez and, you know, will he bounce back? Miguel Sano was kind of like, we know he can smash the ball, but like, you know, how consistent can he be? Byron Buxton is always a health issue with him. Can he stay on the field? When he's on the field, he's great, but it's hard for him to stay on the field. And their pitching's kind of eh. I mean, you know, they have Sonny Gray, and I feel like that's all I can really name off that pitching staff, at least as of right now. So it'll be interesting to see it. And in the division that's kind of dominated right now by the White Sox and maybe the Tigers, depending on how that kind of team meshes together with the addition of Javi Baez.
It's going to be the White Sox coasting through. I know the Tigers, they're pitching as long as it grows and settles in with potential. But yeah, I don't know. The Twins are just that weird team where I feel like they just don't have enough. They obviously got rid of Berríos earlier this year. The Twins are just weird. I feel like they're trying to do this fast rebuild with getting rid of stars to get stars. And I don't know. I don't see it working out.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And also, too, another team that's kind of like you kind of shake your head on. I didn't mention this. Obviously, there were the Phillies signing that you mentioned with Castellanos. You know, that's a great signing for them. I think they're going to have one of the most potent offenses in baseball. But obviously, for the Phillies, it's defense and pitching that are always that are the biggest flaws in that team. Like, it's pretty big. Like they're gonna rake, but like when they're cold, like it's gonna be rough. You know, because all they have is after Nola and Wheeler, it's kind of a downhill from there.
Yeah, totally. And Nola has been not the same for a little bit. And Wheeler, you know, who knows how much the Phillies are gonna rely on him? Probably a lot. So I don't expect much out of it with the Phillies. Look, good signings and everything, but Schwarby, obviously a DH, but I don't know. The Phillies need that pitching help, not only in the starting rotation, but also in the bullpen desperately. I just don't see it with Philadelphia. I think they look good on paper. They're that kind of team, but on the field, can they consistently not get errors and have your pitchers throw with a low ERA and low whip?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, and also another one that was interesting too is Chris Bryant to the Rockies, you know, at 7/182. It's like, we're like, why? Like, why would they offer it? And then why would he sign it? I know I talked about it on Swing the Twig about how, you know, it's like, you know, he kind of did everything that you want to do as a player. You win the Rookie of the Year, you win MVP, you win probably one of the most iconic World Series championships of all time with the Chicago Cubs. But it's like, you're going to a team that's like, they're not really a win now team. You said in your press conference that you're looking forward to win a lot of games. Not, I want to win a championship. It's like, all right, well, that does not sound right, at least to me. So it's like, you're just going there to pad your stats. And then what if it doesn't work out? They're going to ship you off somewhere else. They did that with Arenado. They might do it with him.
Yeah, that's a great point, Anthony. We discussed this, and you mentioned, hey, you know, he dipped a little bit in his career. Can he go into Coors, have the Coors effect, and start escalating those stats and in order to potentially be a Hall of Famer? I don't think he is, no matter what. However, you know, this is awkward. The Rockies, what, 2-3 years ago, not even, yeah. That's when they panicked and they signed Arenado to a big deal. Next thing you know, they're like, oh, well, we still suck with him. Uh-huh. Trade him off and then go out and get Chris Bryant to put him in left field because they just extended Ryan McMahon. So I'm expecting him to actually play third. But yeah, the Rockies, I just don't get this move at all. It's awkward for KB. You know, I guess he can help that team as a World Series champion and stuff, kind of try and prove his veteran status. But I don't know. It's definitely a weird one. I thought he was going to go to like Seattle or something, not stay with the Giants. But the Rockies, yeah, I guess $182 million will not hurt looking at in the bank account.
Nope, not at all. But good for him. You know, he got his money and he's kind of set for life. So hopefully he can become a Hall of Famer. You know, I think that's kind of the trajectory he was at after the 2016 season. And he's kind of, I wouldn't say he's fallen off, but he's not like the guy that we thought he was going to be, like the superstar guy. Like we're like, were you, where it's like to the point where it's like, where you go to the ballpark and you're looking forward to seeing Chris Bryant. Like, it's right. Like, he doesn't have that kind of cachet to his name as what we thought as what it once was a couple, like not a couple years ago, more like 6 years ago.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's like Derrick Rose in the NBA. Remember that MVP? Of course, you can't forget it. Season, and then next thing you know, you're always looking for Derrick Rose when you're going to the Bulls games. Next thing you know, the injuries happen, and it's like, oh yeah, Derrick Rose existed. I'm not saying he's injury prone, obviously, but it's just a matter of once your talent starts to diminish just a little bit in some way, they don't look at you the same. It felt like yesterday was the World Series, and KB was one of the best hitters on the planet, and then all of a sudden he just died out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a weird side. Yeah, it's weird, and you're right. Like, it's like you, I don't know. He wants to be like, you thought he'd be a star. He kind of was, and then he kind of like fell off. You know, that whole Cubs relationship kind of didn't really work out. They really destroyed that whole core. So not good on their part, and now they're kind of, they got to rebuild from the ground up. And I know they signed Suzuki and they have a couple other guys, but you know, they're kind of in this weird limbo right now. But I want to say that's really it for baseball. You know, those were, oh, the other signing, I'm sorry, Trevor Story signs a 6-year $140 million to the Boston Red Sox. I understand this move because of Xander Bogaerts potentially becoming a free agent as well. So they kind of wanted to have some insurance in case he does leave, because he could command some big money too if he has another great season, because I feel like he's a better shortstop in my eyes than Trevor Story is, and he's younger too. So, you know, there is an opt-out for him, I think, after the fourth or fifth year, but he'll be 34, so he'll likely opt in depending on where he lies in terms of how great he of a season he had and if he could command more money. But it's an interesting one because it's like, it's always about the Coors effect, you know,
right?
Can he put up the numbers that he did in Coors in Fenway Park? You know, Fenway Park gets a hitter friendly ballpark, don't get me wrong, but that elevation, that altitude isn't there. So, and his splits, I saw something on his road splits. It ain't pretty. So, you know, I did speak to Sean about it. He was kind of like, you know, happy for it, but he's like in this weird part where he's like, he's glad they signed, but he's like, as long as he like does what he has to do, like we're fine. He wasn't like overly excited about the move.
Right. And I get it too. What was the contract?
6 at $140 million.
All right. I mean, you know, it's interesting too, because at first, Trevor Story said, hey, I'm only playing at shortstop. Next thing you know, they're saying that he's going to play at second, even though he's primarily a much better defender than Bogaerts at short. Yeah, I don't know. But I remember people were dissing on the JD Martinez move when he went to Boston. And everyone's like, oh, he's not going to hit homers. He's not going to do this. I don't know, man. I understand the Coors effect for Story, but I feel like he's going to hit a lot of doubles. His slugging will still be up there, not as much. He's always been an okay player, I feel like, too, even with the Coors effect. But it's another bat in that lineup that is absolutely scary. So I guess it doesn't hurt that Boston made a big move like this. And I kind of – I get it. I mean, Trevor Story, it's going to be hit or miss. Any player coming out of Colorado, whether it's now or in the past, you know, there's always questions of, hey, are they as good as they sound? Like, you know, Todd Helton, people are like, should he be a Hall of Famer or not? Larry Walker, he's a Hall of Famer, but should he be? So that Coors effect's always going to be a stain on any Rockies player, which kind of sucks. I feel bad for him. But yeah, story, I do like the move. I do. I think Fenway is going to be a good park for him, where he's going to hit a lot of doubles off the monster or anything like that. So solid move by Boston.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's good to compare it to the JD move. You know, it was like, you know, people were like, well, is this going to work? And then he kind of him and Mookie catapult that team to a World Series ring. You know, they kind of led that whole offensive firepower what that team had. And hopefully, you know, I shouldn't say hopefully because they're in my division, but that they do the same for, that he can do the same for Boston for his own sake. I hope he sucks when he plays New York. But good for him. You know, I mean, look, he got his money. You know, I think it's a little more than what he deserved, but hey, profit in for negotiating, at least getting something in a free agent market that was kind of, I wouldn't say it wasn't hot, but like there wasn't a lot of time to get deals done, as we are weeks away from opening day now. So we're going to be 2 weeks away today. You know, as you're listening to this, if you listen to it on the period of March 24th, we're 2 weeks away from opening day. So it's good that he got a deal done. You know, he could go to Boston camp, you know, maybe play a couple of spring training games, get his reps in, meet his teammates, you know, start vibing with them. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I shouldn't say hopefully. I should just say like this, like if they can make a run, great. If not, that'd be great too, because I'm a Yankee fan. But I feel like that's all the, I'm trying to think of, I think that's all the moves. You know, obviously a lot of arbitration cheerings have happened. Yes. You know, a lot of the Yankee players were re-signed. Obviously Judge wasn't, you know, the report was that they're $4 million apart. He requested for 21. The Yankees countered with 17, which I'm like, okay, like, I kind of don't like that, but like, you're not that far off. But, you know, hopefully an extension gets done soon. I'm hoping. So we'll see. And then, you know, your Padres, how many one is notable that got, you know, decent money from arbitration, or
Musgrove, I believe $8 million for a year. Now I'm trying to think, you really got me off guard, because I was checking Twitter and stuff. We have not brought back Tommy Pham. He's still a free agent. Joe Musgrove, I'm thinking that is it. Is it okay if I quickly try and see if I can look that up? Let's see, Padres. I know Joey Gallo for you guys, 10 mil, a little over 10 mil.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, good for him. And you actually, and you, when you were in Florida, you actually got to meet the guy.
Right. Oh, that's right. That's right. Before I get to the Padres, there are more. Of course, I didn't figure this one obviously out, an ex-Yankee. But yeah, so, okay. So. Went to the Lightning Rangers game on vacation in Tampa Bay. A lot of fun. Great city, great atmosphere. Rangers won thanks to Zibanejad with 16.2 left. Really nice shot. So then my boy Tommy and I, we go to eat downtown Tampa. I forget what the place is called. We sit down, you know, the ladies at the front sits us down. What are the chances? What are the odds of me looking diagonally to my left and seeing Joey Gallo? And I'm not in uniform, obviously. It's not the easiest to catch an athlete when they're not in uniform. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Even though Joey Gallo is like 6'5" and he's a big boy, I just looked and I'm like, oh my goodness, I think that's Joey Gallo. So I kind of got Tommy's attention and I'm like, dude, that's Joey G. So he looks and he didn't believe me for a second. And then he's like, oh my goodness, that's Joey Gallo. And Tommy was like a little nervous because, you know, I think he was out with his girlfriend. It looked like a double date, maybe. There was four people there having a good time, looking like they were wrapping up when we just got there. And I was texting Tommy and I was kind of whispering to him as well. I was like, Tommy, you know, if we don't at least attempt saying hello and trying to get a picture with him, we're going to regret it the whole car ride back. You know, what are the odds? What are the chances? Everything like that.
That's true. Yeah, that's a valid point.
Right. So when I kind of went up to him and I said, hey, you know, Joey, we're huge fans, everything like that. And he was nice, took a good picture with us.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, look, at the end of the day, like, you know, obviously you're a Padres fan, but you know, we're all baseball fans at the end of the day. So, I mean, like, you know, like obviously Joey Gallo's a Yankee. Like, I'm going to go say hi to him and want to take a picture. But like, if I saw like Musgrove or, you know, like one of your guys, like Cosmer, like, obviously I'd want to go take a picture with them. But if we're talking about Carlos Correa, I probably want to spit in his face.
Right. And like, listen, the guys next to us, some older gentlemen, very nice guys, right? They're like, hey, who was that? I'm like, all right, I guess they were kind of, some of them are Yankee fans. I'm like, you know, he's a two-time All-Star starting left fielder for the New York Yankees now. Like, you got to know Joey Gallo. He was a home run king. Big boy, man. I know, obviously, for 6'5 and everything. But I was like, guys, it's Joey Gallo. And they're like, oh, my goodness. So, no, it was a lot of fun. I couldn't believe it. That really topped off that night. I think that was Saturday night. Yeah, because we saw him Sunday as the last game for spring training that Tommy and I went to before coming back. But yeah, I almost called you Tommy. Yeah, Anthony, it was a much, much good pleasure to meet Joey Gallo. And now I want to quickly get back into that arbitration because I ranted on a little too much. The new Padre, who was a Yankee, Luke Voit, avoided arbitration with a $5.45 million deal. Lukey Pookie has been walking a little bit in spring training. I'm liking it. Listen, I was against this deal a little bit because of Voit's injury problems, but it's still a big power bet. He's got a great OPS against both righties and lefties, so I will take it. If he could stay healthy, please be the DH. I don't want, like I said, I don't want Ha-Sung Kim or Jerkson Profar being that DH. Not at all. And the other potential closer, possibly, there's talks of Denelson Lamet, Victor Caratini, Chris Paddock, and Hoyer Alfaro, who I'm a huge fan of. I'm glad he's on the squad. Also avoided arbitration. Joe Musgrove with the most at just around $8.6 million. So hopefully Joe, no good Joe, gets that big-time deal soon. That would be cool.
Yeah.
With the Padres.
I would just got to be with your team. But yeah, a lot of moves have happened. I think we're going to hopefully see a couple more. I just read a report also that I don't think the A's are going to move Minaya or Montez. So that sucks for you. That's what I heard. Yeah, I don't think they're going to move them. Maybe they might wait until maybe the trade deadline. I don't know.
Can I be real with you on the A's, honestly?
Sure.
Am I the only one that doesn't think they look that bad of a team coming into this year?
I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, like, it's the A's. They do this. I keep forgetting. They got Eric Thames. Chad Pinder's not bad. I don't know. Christian Pache, they obviously got. I don't know. I feel like the A's are just going to kind of shock people. They're not going to be great, but I feel like they're going to get, like, 75 wins.
This isn't bad, you know?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, they should be competitive. That's all that matters. But, you know, I think we've got to move on because, obviously –
right.
Bigger news happened in the NFL. I feel like we'll start with your boy Devontae. Did we talk about Devontae Adams getting traded in last week?
No way, because I would have remembered.
Did we? All right, so we'll talk about it now. Devontae Adams gets traded and then signed to the Las Vegas Raiders. Signs a crazy, crazy contract with them. And this was also while Aaron Rodgers knew that this was happening. I think at the end of the day, you know, Adams was a massive Raiders fan, and I think he wanted to play for them. He wanted to play for his favorite team, and they made it happen. And, you know, Dom, you know, he's now paired with with Renfrow and Waller and Jacobs. So what does this mean, you know, for Derek Carr and kind of that offense? It kind of solidified that you have the best wide receiver in football.
Yeah, I'm already going to be looking to get a 17 if he's wearing it. Adams, I think he has a jersey. I'm loving it. He's also got Robinson from the Chiefs as a receiver now, just signed. Kenyon Drake, a good running back that can catch the ball for catches. So this means for the Raiders, especially Derek Carr, there's no excuses, you know. You have the best receiver. Renfrow had a career year. Waller, obviously one of the best tight ends there is. And the Raiders, I mean, that offense is dirty. I've always liked Carr. And now that he's he did well with Renfrow as his primary receiver because of all the whole Ruggs incident, right? So Renfrow became the guy. Renfrow really stepped up too. But Carr, with talent around him, man, This is going to remind me of the Crabtree Amari Cooper days, but better. I mean, Adams is a dynamic player. I couldn't believe it. I even thought before the extensions happened for Adams and Rodgers, I thought the whole rumors to the Raiders were fake and just kind of just like clickbait. And I was shocked. I felt like a free agent myself. I'm getting texts in Florida. Devontae Adams. Oh my God. Raiders, Raiders, Raiders. Couldn't believe it. Listen, this just means there's as exciting as it is, there's no more excuses. For Derek Carr in Las Vegas. We're going to get into it soon, but the Chiefs obviously lost the receiver. We know the Chargers and Broncos have stepped up. This AFC West, man, it's crazy, crazy. But I'm going to predict this. With everything going on right now with the Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, I still think need some receiving help. I think the Raiders have to at least get their chances of winning that division, if not barely reach second in that division, because I think the Chargers are talented. But I said this on the show, or maybe even the other show, the head coaching situation is a problem for LA. But the Raiders, man, starting fresh, they got McDaniels. Look at all this talent on offense. Still need to work on defense and much more. But they got Devontae Adams, man, unreal. The best one-on-one receiver there is in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Like it's like it's him and then everybody else. You know. I mean, Tyreek Hill, who we'll probably get into right now. You know, he gets traded. Probably the second best receiver in football. He gets traded from Kansas City to the Miami Dolphins. Your dad's favorite team, Richie Doodle, Rich DeRosa. How you doing?
Right.
You got your boy, him and Waddle, fastest combo in the NFL. They're going to play together. However, Tua's still not going to get them the ball. He's got a weak-ass arm. But still, you trade for him.
Yeah.
You know, you trade for him. You sign him to a four-year, $120 million extension. And – you know, obviously you give up a haul for Tyreek Hill, a first round pick this year and multiple picks and over the next couple of years. But, you know, obviously you could speak on your dad's path, but do you like this move that the Dolphins did in getting Tyreek Hill? I mean, you pair him with Waddle, but like, right, you don't have the quarterback for it.
You read exactly what not only my dad, but my cousin said too. My cousins are more Dolphin fans. Like, my dad likes them, but he knows that the Dolphins are not that as good as they seem. But all three of them don't like Tua. That's the thing. Listen, they don't mind the Tyreek Hill situation, but the first things that come out of their mouth, oh, well, he ain't getting the ball because Tua can't throw it to him. Unless Tua is throwing a little halfback screen, next thing you know, Tyreek gets open and then goes the yards in the distance. Okay, that's going to pad to his stats. I feel like that's what happened a lot with Mahomes. Mahomes would throw a deep ball, yes. But for the most part, Tyreek Hill did a lot of the work, actually, with the yards after the catch, the screens, wrapping around, no one knowing how to tackle him. That's where Tyreek Hill does his dirty work, so I can see this working out. Any kind of slant route to him, Jalen Waddle, the fastest dude in the league, it can work. But Tua has to have more confidence in throwing the deep ball when he has to. And this is a great way to do it. Give Tua this year. See how he does with a lot of weapons. They actually got Gesicki back too as a tight end. And look what the Dolphins do. They got the offensive lineman from the Saints. So trying to give Tua some protection. Who was the running back they got as well? So the Dolphins are really building a little team. You got a running back too from, I think it was the Dolphins.
I know your running back is pretty is like, yeah, he's not
Gaskin anymore. Oh, Chase Edmonds, not bad at all.
Yeah, Edmonds was a good receiver, running back for the Cardinals. Obviously, James Conner did a lot of the rushing and the pound for pound, but Edmonds was solid, them. So yeah. It's just the quarterback thing, and the other move. Obviously, the other two trades I forgot to mention this one before we went on the air was Deshaun Watson. He gets traded to the Cleveland Browns. And gets a bag. He gets $230 million. And I'm shaking my head of like, first of all, like I understand he's better than Baker Mayfield. Don't get me wrong. But like, the guy's still under investigation.
You know, I have a messed up joke, but I should keep it to myself.
Yeah, please keep it to yourself.
Yeah. It's such a shame. I don't even want to think about that one because the Browns are doing Mayfield so dirty. Listen, I'm actually a Mayfield fan. I was not, and I turned into one. Coming out of college, I didn't really like the kid. But I like his attitude. I like his commercials, right? They're funny. And I think Mayfield is just a baller. I like the way he talks. He's confident in himself. He deserves better. I mean, really. The Browns, dude, we have to keep in mind. It's the Browns. It's the freaking Browns. Yeah. Sean Watson's good, but he's not great. He's not a game changer. So, I don't know. I don't know how I see this is going to work out. And Amari Cooper, too. Mr. Inconsistent himself going to Cleveland.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like, you know, they want to keep it kind of alive. They got Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Henderson Jr., probably the best running back combination you can have in football when healthy. And hopefully, you know, if you pair that up with Deshaun Watson, you know, you have Amari Cooper who's going to be their number one. You want to say Jarvis Landry wants to stay, but, you know, he's requesting a trade, so he probably still wants out. So I don't know, but, you know, at least they're trying to keep it at least for the Cleveland fan base, at least they at least have hope. You know, it's not like they're just blowing it up. You know, they're at least they're trying. You just got to hope that Deshaun Watson is cleared to play this season.
Yeah. I mean, it's just been a crazy offseason. If he's cleared to play, 4 years through 30 is way too much, but it's just, it's insane. I mean, we can go on and on with what teams are doing and everything. And there's still rumors out there where Bobby Wagner is going to go. Odell, is he potentially going to go back to the Browns? I'm hearing.
I mean, if it doesn't matter if he returns or not, he's out the whole season.
That's right.
Towards injury. Towards ACL again.
Yeah. Another one I do want to get into. It's a quick one before we have any more. Leonard Fournette re-signed with the Buccaneers. Yep. 3 years, 24 mil. 21 of that is guaranteed. I love this move because if the Falcons were going to get Deshaun Watson, Leonard Fournette was going to sign there. And Fournette said, you know what? Let me just stay. I really like him as a running back for this team. And yeah, Bucks are getting loaded. Him, Russell Gage, and more.
Yeah, I think it's like it's the Brady effect. You know, he retires and everyone wants to come back. So, you know, he's back with them. And, you know, they kind of just got to – hopefully they can run it back, get Tom Brady one more ring, and then he could definitely officially ride off into the sunset because I do think he wants to end it as a champion, as he should be, the ultimate winner, and not only in football but in all sports. I think he's got to do it that way. So let's hope. And then obviously I think kind of the last kind of thing we'll mention in regards to football is kind of Matt Ryan. He gets traded to my Indianapolis Colts. Bye-bye Carson Wentz. Obviously, we traded Carson Wentz away to the Commanders, formerly known as the Redskins. So I am – I like this. I mean, I'm for it. You know, Carson Wentz, I thought he could prove me wrong. He didn't. He still sucks. He's got a lot of mental issues, I want to say. And look, Matt Ryan's an MVP. He was a potential champion. Obviously, the collapse happened in 2017 that we all know. But look, he's going to come into a organization where he's going to have the best, probably the best running back pound for pound in football, Jonathan Taylor. Yes, he has some solid receivers in Michael Pittman Jr., who's making himself a number one wide receiver in football. T.Y. Hilton, if he can stay healthy. You know, and some other good pieces around him, along with a solid defense and a pretty good O-line. So, I mean, if he can, you know, if he can put up the numbers, you know, he can make us, you know, get back into the playoffs, because when our defense is hot and Matt Ryan's hot, I mean, we could be unstoppable as a team. So I hope it works out for him. I know he's old, he's getting up there in age, but, you know, we gotta try. So I'm liking what the GM moves are. What the GMs are doing. So I'm excited. You know, I like the new change. I feel like it's good for the organization. And, you know, hopefully we don't have another collapse again and lose to the Jaguars and miss the playoffs. Cause if that happens again, we got bigger issues on our hands again.
Yeah, man. I actually heard that Matt Ryan was relieved about this kind of thing, that he's out of there. And I don't blame him. I don't. And I'm happy for him. But at the same time, I wonder how the Colts will do. I feel like they're going to be hit or miss this year. They're talented, but how talented can they be? They lost Pascal, who's decent, to the Eagles on a one-year deal. But Matt Ryan, just it's – look, I'm not a Wentz fan, but at the same time, Matt Ryan is getting old. I do find it a little weird that it's going to be like that. I don't know how Matt Ryan's going to do. I feel like he's made some incompetent decisions. And I, if the Colts can get into the playoffs, great. But I don't think they're going to get far if they do make it. And I want to see the Colts. Ever since Jonathan Taylor has been on my fantasy team last year, I want to see the Colts do well.
Yeah. I feel like that's like everybody now. Like everyone's like has this new love for the Colts because of Taylor. If anyone had him on fantasy, could he literally just carry them to a championship win potentially? But yeah, I mean, look, obviously, look, the age is always a factor, and you just hope that he can still bring in and that the O line can protect him. And they got to know that too, that they got to protect him because, you know, he's taken a lot of hits over his career, and I think this is right. I think he needs a fresh start to be able to land his entire career. And I think hopefully this change of pace can rejuvenate his career, kind of like it did for Phillip Rivers before he ultimately retired at the end of his season with the Colts a couple of years ago.
Right.
So that's kind of I want to say that all the football moves, I think that's kind of happened.
So much.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in both on both sides of the sport, baseball and football. I know we haven't really talked about basketball and hockey, but that's because, you know, our hockey people to help Dom discuss this stuff aren't here, so we can't talk about it. And in basketball, you know, we're kind of towards the end of the season, you know, playoffs are starting to take shape, and we got to you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, for NBA though, I want to give a quick shout out to the Phoenix Suns. Like, they lost CP3. Is he still out, Anthony?
Yeah, he will not be back until the playoffs.
Ooh. But, you know, they're still doing really well. I'm actually going to take a look at the standings now as I'm talking to you. It's funny to see the Lakers 10 under. I laugh. That's the only time I'm really watching is when I see the Laker highlights the next day and they're just losing to, like, the Warriors. Credit to the Wolves. But, you know, it's been interesting. I'll take a look into the playoffs a little bit, and I'll root for the Suns because you know how badly I want to see CP3 finally win a ring. So Devin Booker and that team is squatted up. I want to talk to you actually about this because I think we were going to talk about it on the show. The Brooklyn Nets and everything, you'll get into it, and the whole vaccine mandate is now actually being lifted with New York rules. Your Nets, 38-34. Right now are eighth. They've had inconsistency, a little bit of injuries, obviously, here and there that don't help along. Trading away James Harden. So a little bit of drama in there. How are we feeling, Anthony? I know once you make the playoffs, all that regular season stuff is gone anyway. So it's a matter of just winning those games. The fact that you could see Kyrie Irving finally play in Brooklyn, which made the rule before made no sense anyway. So how are we feeling about this? How are you feeling about your Nets and everything?
I think, you know, if and when, you know, if the reports are true and the mandate does get lifted today, March 24th, that'd be great. Kyrie Irving comes back. He provides more consistency for the team, you know, knowing that he'll be there at every game, home and away, you know, and that fans get to see him, you know. It's a shame that, you know, obviously we talked about the real stupid and that, you know, he puts up great numbers and puts on a performance for opposing fans. He can't do it for the home crowd, which sucks. You know, like he had a 60-point game against Orlando. Nets fans don't get to see that because of this rule. So it'd be great to have him back, and it would create a lot more consistency for the team. I think everything would be flow better. But honestly, it's the Kevin Durant show. I mean, this man is just a special human being. I mean, I was watching them versus the Knicks at home, and it was KD versus the Knicks. This man did everything in his power to get us that win. When we needed a big bucket, he got it. Whether it was a two-pointer, he got fouled for the and one, a three, a big stop, it was him who was doing it. It's just amazing to watch him every day, and I get to watch him every day on my favorite team. You know, and I think people kind of forget how great he is. Well, I would say they forget, but I think I'm starting to see that, you know, when he is on the floor, you have a chance to win every night. 100%. I'm watching it right now, and he's just like, he can hit it from anywhere. Like, you cannot stop him. He needs a two, he'll get it. You need a three, he gets it. If you're in his face, he'll still drain it in your mouth. Like, there's nothing he can't do. He can do it all. It's unfair of what he can do on the basketball court. Like, I'm just in awe in every game that I've watched of what he does. And the fact that also he's willing to play every minute of almost every game is just astonishing to me. And the fact that he doesn't want to sit out is also great to see. And I know, but it worries me as a fan, because I know he's old, he's getting up there in age, and the injuries, you know, he's piled on with the Achilles tear. He had a foot injury when he was in OKC. He had the MCL sprain. It worries me, but I have faith in him. And I just hope that he stays healthy, because if those two are on the court, we have a shot. And if Ben can come back in any sort of capacity this season, that'd be great too. But there's some back. He's got a lot of back issues. More reports came out that it's a herniated disc, which is something I did not want to hear. So we'll see what happens with that. They did give him an epidural a few weeks ago. And they said it relieved some pain, but not all of it. So I don't know if he's coming back. If anything, it'll be next year. And I think Kevin Durant knows that. I feel like, you know, he's looking more at the big picture, and I'm not more of the short term, which I'm all for. Cause I feel like that move did give us more of a long-term window. And look, he's here for the long haul. And I feel like Kyrie needs to buy into it too, for the long haul. Cause he kind of owes Kevin Durant. He put him through the ringer, you know, this past year for him and for us fans. So, you know, he better not leave, cause KD's kind of locked up for the next seven years. I want to say, So he signed a 6-year extension on top of his current deal.
Wow. I did not know that.
So he signed it last summer, and I forget what year he's in on this deal, because it was a 4-year deal.
Yeah. So, 2021.
So he either this deal goes the whole length, like it goes 4 years and then the 6-year deal kicks in, or he opts out and then the 6-year, I don't know, but no matter what, we have him for at least 7 more years. So he's likely going to end his career with us.
I would hope so in that case.
So, yeah. And, you know, going back to the mandate, you know, it was announced, Mayor Eric Davis will announce Thursday that the mandate will be lifted, and that players both for the Nets, the Knicks, the Mets, and the Yankees will be allowed to play in their home ballparks, stadiums, which will be great. Obviously, they won't be able to play in Toronto still because of their restrictions, but that is okay. I mean, you know, it sucks, but it is what it is. But that means Kyrie gets to play in the home games. That means potentially Aaron Judge gets to play at Yankee Stadium, and whoever Mets players that aren't unvaccinated get to play, because I told you this before we went on the air, is that if the players that are unvaccinated, you know, if this rule happens, they don't have to come out and say that they were not vaccinated.
Right.
You know, so it kind of, and people are, and trust me, fans are going to forget about it so fast.
Oh yeah. Already. So quick. And it should be like that to begin with.
Yeah. We talked about it. It should either be, you get tested every day, and if you're negative, you're good to go. And that should be it. You know, it's like, it's this weird world, but hopefully tomorrow is the end of my misery as a Nets fan. And, you know, I don't have to go through it anymore, and I don't have to start with it with a Yankee fan, as a Yankee fan, because opening day is in a few weeks. I talked to our good friend, Mr. Tommy Franks. I'm likely going to opening day with him, and I want to see Aaron Judge on opening day. And I don't
Who are they playing on opening day?
The Red Sox.
Oh, duh, me.
Yeah, so it's likely going to be Eovaldi versus Cole because of Chris Sale. Obviously with the rib cage injury, he will be out for the foreseeable future. So I think that's all we got for this edition of the Sports Sphere. John, do you have anything to add or before we say our farewells?
Trying to think. Mackenzie Gore, one of our top prospects, absolute stud. He's been dealing. So I'm really happy to see that. Hoping he gets a nice little opening day invitation. And same thing with CJ Abrams. So go Padres.
Go Padres indeed. All right, then that's going to do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. We thank you for tuning in. Hopefully, you know, Sean and Noah will join us next week. Obviously, Sean has class on Wednesday night, so we were recording this on a Wednesday night, so it is tough for him to be on when we do this. But, you know, obviously the NBA playoffs are going to start coming around. You know, we'll talk about that as we get closer. Opening day is 2 weeks away, so a lot of baseball talk is going to happen. The NFL hot stove, it's been one of the craziest offseason in NFL history. I don't think it's slowing down anytime soon, so there'll still be more stuff to talk about there. And hockey, too. You know, I'm sure we'll talk about that on the next episode because there are pretty big trades that happen in hockey, especially with the Rangers. So I'm sure the three of you, the three Musketeers, Dom, Sean, and Noah will want to talk about that and explain what that means for the New York Rangers. And we'll probably have some we'll have some guests on in the near future, a couple interviews. Right. I do know Wreck-It, Chris Rattalis is going to want to come on probably maybe in another month after we're kind of starting the MLB season. I know Ron's going to want to come on once the NBA playoffs get underway. And then I've been meaning to schedule this, get that interview going with Justin and Gianna. So I got to get on that. That's on me. Cause I actually saw Justin over the week. I just totally forgot to ask him. But we'll get to it. But that's going to do it for me and Dom. We thank you, as always, for tuning in and listening. Be sure to check us out on our socials, the Sports _ Fever on Instagram, the Sports Fever 1 on Twitter, and you can shoot us an email at thesportsfever@gmail.com. But that's going to do it for us. Be sure to tune in next time, Thursday at noon, for a brand new episode.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes on every podcasting platform that you can think of.